Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prosperous Spotlight. We've got an exciting show for you again this week. We're continuing our series, Journeys Through the Revelation. We are all the way up right now to chapter 19. And I want you to know we are working on putting all of these lessons, all these shows we've done on the book of Revelation, all the way from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 22. We're almost there, by the way. We're going to put them either on a DVD disc or a flash drive that you can order. And we'll let you know when we have this ready, that you'll be able to get and be able to use to listen to at your own leisure. And you'll have all of them on one disc. Won't that be great? All right, now today we're going to jump to chapter 19. Do you know what chapter 19 is? The second coming of Jesus Christ on the white horse. And boy, oh boy, what a day that's going to be, huh? All right, strap in and get ready because here we go. Hey, everybody. We're sure glad to have you with us today. I'm Brother Goodwin. This is Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle. And this is the Word of God right here.
Amen.
And we're once again going to jump into the book of Revelation and in our journey. We're on a journey through the tribulation. Doc, we talked about the introduction, chapter 1. We jumped into the seven churches, which is the 2,000-year church age, chapter 2 and 3. We saw the rapture in chapter 4. We saw us going up to heaven. And we saw the seven seal book and the title deed to the planet up there in the right
throne
hand
room of heaven.
Yeah, chapter 5. And then chapter 6 through chapter 19, which we're going to end with today, is the tribulation period.
Right.
So chapter 19 is the end of it, but it's not the end of Revelation.
Oh, no.
I got thinking, I just listened to one of our prior shows, Doc, and we pointed something out that I want to point out again. The book of Revelation doesn't just cover the end time.
No.
It covers the entire church age from Ephesus, from Jesus dying on the cross,
right,
all the way to the end of the kingdom age.
That's
and the
right.
great white throne and the new heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
And beyond the new heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The millennium is hazy enough for me. Don't get me into that. But
it's exciting.
Yeah. Now, before we do that, we want to tell the viewers, we appreciate everybody who partners with us prayerfully, those you pray for us, and those of you who put a check in the mail, or you call the 800 number and you donate, or you go on the website and you donate there. We appreciate every one of you. And we are still a little behind, and we don't have the money yet to pay the quarterly bill that's coming due just, I think, in about a week from now. If I've got my bearings right here, let me see. It is another week. And we got to pay the bill, and we do not have the money yet. But I do want to tell you this. We are going on some new networks within the next week or so. We're jumping on two or three new networks. One of them is called Greater Love TV. And so if you know what Greater Love TV is, you know we're adding that. And there's another one called Faith TV. Yeah, Faith TV. Faith TV is a satellite or dish or DirecTV. I think it's DirecTV satellite. DirecTV. So if you have DirecTV, channel 379 is the Faith TV network. Prophecy in the Spotlight has been invited on there. We are going on. And we're excited about it. I don't know the day yet. Now, if I do, she'll put it up on the screen when she edits this, but I don't know if I'm not sure we have that information yet. But if you see it on the screen, that means that's it. It's $3.79 on your DirecTV, if you have DirecTV. And so if we can't stay on CTN, and that's yet to be determined, this is also satellite. So those of you who watch us on CTN, you just got to find out what day we're on. We'll be on a different day and a different hour. You'll still be able to find us. And we want you to know, especially those on CTN, if we do have to leave and move to some other channels, we want you to contact us. If you need any help, we are putting together a brochure, a nice color brochure. We'd like to send it to you. Call us, send us a message on Facebook, send us a message on email. let us know, hey, I'd like the brochure to know how to find your program. We're on in a lot of places. We're on, I don't know, 10 radio stations around the country.
And some other TV outlets.
We're on VTN in Arkansas every Saturday. Yeah. We can give you that information. We're on Faith TV 379 on direct.
Someplace out of Wisconsin or somewhere.
Minnesota. Cool TV, I understand, has shut down.
Oh,
we were on. We were on Cool TV for several years in Minnesota. I think that they have. I think they shut down. But we're on. We're going to be on this Greater Love TV, which some of them are antennas on your television. Some of them are cable. There'll be some streaming stuff we'll tell you about. There's YouTube. There's Rumble. There's a whole bunch of places that you can watch our program. And so we want you to know that. But we're very excited to tell you we're going on Faith TV, which is satellite. It's on DirecTV 379. That's very important for you, especially those of you that watch us on CTN. If we're not able to continue, that's where you'll find us. You don't have to lose our program, okay? So if you'd like to get that brochure, we'd be glad to send it to you. We're also considering, Doc, we're considering doing a DVD of every show and sending it to people that don't have internet or you can't watch us, have no other way to watch us. Contact us. We'll tell you how you can get a DVD in the mail every week, and you can watch our program via your DVD or a flash drive or something like that. And all right, well, let's get to the show, Doc. Chapter 19, let me read a couple of verses, or did you want to read a couple?
Go ahead.
All right. Chapter 19 starts like this. And after these things, remember, when you see that, you see that throughout the Bible. After this, and that's all through Revelation 18, same thing. After this, Revelation 19, after that. In other words, what you just read, after that, now this comes.
Really, the after that is back to chapter 16.
Right.
And the seventh vial of wrath.
When the seventh vial is finished and the Battle of Armageddon is just about happening, Christ is going to come. He's going to put an end to it. Mm-hmm. Let me read a few verses. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. And by the way, I'm going to be one of them, Doc. And everyone that's listening today, if you're born again, you'll be one of these people in heaven, the multitudes, shouting salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, that's the religious system, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia, for her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's that religious system. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And a voice, this is exciting stuff, Doc. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, by the way, God has no difference, does he? The rich or the poor, small, the great, the popular, the unpopular.
Has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Yes. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come.
Yes.
Now, and we talked about this before, Doc.
We're at the end of the 7 years.
That marriage supper in heaven for 7 years.
Yeah.
I think I'm right about this. I think the 70th week of Daniel is Israel down here, and the church has moved location. It's still the church age, but the church has been moved to heaven, and the 7 year marriage supper doesn't end until the end of that thing, the marriage supper.
Because we're
the marriage actually consummates at the end.
From this point forward, we won't be called the bride. We're going to be called the wife.
That's right. So something's just changed. Now the 7 years is up. Now we are the bride. We've all said our I do's. We're now married. He's going to take us to our new home, right?
Our new home will be the millennial earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So let me finish this here. The marriage of, this is important, verse 7, the marriage of the Lamb is come. In other words, for 7 years we've been having cake and ice cream and celebrations, but now the I do's have come, the marriage is done, and because the wife hath made herself ready, and I think it took us 7 years up there to get fully ready, huh? And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. This is you and I, the bride, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous of the saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. This is an angel. We're not supposed to worship angels. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus. Now, here's my verse that when I sign somebody's book, I sign Revelation 19:11. This is the second coming in verse 11. Listen very carefully, folks. And I saw heaven opened, and I don't. And I have a feeling they're going to see it at Armageddon. I think they're going to see the heavens opened. Absolutely. I personally think that the veil opens, and they're going to see us coming on them horses. Someone ought to do a movie about this, huh, Doc? I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called, got to turn the page, faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And we could read on, his eyes as a flame of fire. Right. He's called the Word of God in verse 13. Amen. You and I are going to be on white horses with him.
It appears that because one thing about it, of course, after this, I believe it's talking about after the seventh vial of wrath is poured out. Chapter 17 and 18, as we pointed out, is parenthetical information that's run the whole course through time of the tribulation. But really, the Babylonian system's run its course all the way back from Babel and has brought its way up through here. And so after that comes to an end and God's judgment is falling upon them, the second coming that we just read about here is at the same time, I believe, and I'm very convinced, as the Battle of Armageddon. And that's whenever Gentile rule comes to its complete and full end and its destruction.
Yeah, I like down here also talking about reading some exciting stuff. Down here in verse 20, towards the end of the verse, it says, it talks about the beast that was taken and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and that worshipped his image. These both, the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And I write here in my notes here and in my study guide, they're the first two to go to the place called the lake of fire.
Exactly right. They go straight there. Doesn't appear to be a part of the judgment necessarily, other until the great white throne judgment of God. That's when all that's in hell will be brought back up for judgment. But yeah, they're going to be taken right straight there.
I'm not sure that they come to the great white throne. It's worth doing some study on that. Hell was open. Hell was brought up. But this is hell. This is the lake of fire.
Well, we do know, though, that hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment.
Yeah.
So there has to be either a judgment take place there.
Or he's already judged them.
Right,
it's
judged. But anyway.
But they got some special treatment here. They got sent there before anybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And but back up just a moment. And in the beginning of the chapter, it's amazing how that after these things, the seventh vial of wrath poured out upon the earth. A transition is taking place here between the present earth that has by this time is in total ruins. I mean, we've already talked about all the things that's going to happen in the seal judgments and then the trumpet judgments and now the vial judgments. By this time, in 7 years, the earth is decimated. It's laid away, and then the seventh vial of wrath is going to set the stage for a earth for the millennial reign. I'm convinced when the seventh vial of wrath, we looked at it when we were in chapter 16, there's going to be an earthquake greater than the world has ever experienced. Mountains will be torn down, islands will disappear, and God's going to make a complete new earth. All of that is getting ready to take place. But in that same time frame, he's coming back physically to deal with the Gentile rule to destroy it once and for all.
Yeah.
That's when the times of the Gentiles comes in. It's over.
Yeah. So when Armageddon is over, this thing that you've brought up so many times, the times of the Gentiles started in 600 B.C.
Yes.
with Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar.
Trampling Jerusalem under their feet. I believe it's Romans chapter 12, somewhere along in verse 11 or something, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And that, because Israel is still in blindness, because until that time comes.
Yeah.
And so there's so many things that are taking place at this moment, at the end of the tribulation. We're coming to the second coming of the Lord, as we see the description of it here. And we're coming back in fine linen. So that brings us back once again and ties us back again, back to chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. That's where we got our fine linen, the judgment seat of Christ.
Yep.
And so here we come back, not to war. I know it says the armies of the Lord are coming, but nobody's going to do anything but a sword from his mouth.
Yeah.
Well, that brings you back to the book of Hebrews, where the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder, soul and spirit. And so all that means is that Jesus is coming back and he's just going to speak. And it's over.
Yeah, and
just
I
like
always
that.
Joke about that we don't get to draw a sword and do anything. I think at this point it'd be important to help people understand what we mean by the second coming.
Yes.
Because technically the second coming is in two phases. He comes in the sky, in the clouds, to get his saints.
That's chapter 4. That's when we've been caught out of here.
The second part of the second coming is here with him coming back to the earth.
He's bringing us back. So those of you that try to believe in a post-tribulation rapture, you're going to meet yourself coming and going. Amen?
Yeah, because you got to get there to come back.
You got to get there to come back. And so this is a great chapter. I mean, there's so many things. And in the short time we have, we just don't have time to, because we're taken from a view in heaven back to the view in earth and then back to the view in heaven in this chapter. You know, as you study it, you realize that. And in verse number 3, he said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up. And then verse number 4, and the 24 elders, that takes you back to chapter number 4.
Yeah.
That's all of the saints that are there, both the New and the Old Testament, now, all that are underneath the blood of redemption.
Do you have a slide for this, or is that for next week?
Well, we can show that slide today and next week if she can find it there, because what's happening...
Because I've got some lessons, too.
Because what's happening at this same time when that seventh vial of wrath poured out, God is not going to set up the millennial reign, because that's what we're going to see in the next chapter. God's not going to set up the millennial reign on a totally devastated earth. And he's going to restore it. That earthquake that is so great in chapter 16 is going to reshape the topography of planet earth. And there he talks about hailstones falling out of the sky. And the picture that you have up there is a picture that I use when I teach and I walk through time, particularly out of the book of Genesis, because this is primarily what the original earth looked like. It was no separation.
Right.
And so there were no seas dividing it. There were rivers and inlets and one sea, not seas.
Yeah.
And it is apparent that whenever great hailstones of 100 to 110 pounds are falling out of the sky, I'm convinced God is reestablishing the water canopy, that in the picture you kind of see that little halo around it. And when you do, you take the waters that were above originally in week number 1 of creation that fell in Noah's judgment, I believe God's going to put back up there again. The earth no longer has any mountains or any islands. He's putting it all back together again. It'll be a smaller earth than it is now because of the waters that are above. We'll be once again back on an exact 24-hour time frame. So many things are going to happen, and you're going to be living in a utopian world in the millennial reign.
Yeah.
Because in the book of Isaiah, he talks about a time when the lamb will lay down with the lion. An ox will feed together, and a child can lead them. Well, a lamb and a lion don't lay down together today.
No.
But under two atmospheres of pressure of a reestablished atmospheric condition with a canopy, that attitude will change again. And it says that a child can play on the hole of an aspirin adder without any fear. Well, in the pre-flood world, under two atmospheres of pressure, we've demonstrated this in our research in our museum. We've demonstrated under two atmospheres of pressure, it changes the molecular structure of what we see, even in rattlesnake venom, completely alters it,
yeah,
making it harmless but beneficial for the human body. Hmm. And all of this, new earth, new heaven for the millennial reign.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen all at the same time as Battle of Armageddon, the Lord returning, the Lord going to get out of the Old Testament, the Lord going to get the remnant of Israel that's been in hiding in Bozra. He's going to bring them out and bring them into the restored promised land and rule and reign with them for the 1,000 years.
All right. Folks, don't you wish there was a lever you could pull to get this thing started now? Well, the truth is, it's already begun.
Yes, it has.
The deception is here. The one world system
here.
The one world financial system is ready to take over as soon as this thing crashes. And it's coming soon.
It is.
It could be this fall. I mean, we could be that close. And I'm going to read some things out of my Revelation study guide here. Many of you have ordered this already, my Revelation study guide. Doc has a CD, I think, that's also on the website about Revelation. We got my puzzle book here that just came out recently. And I don't even think I've even mentioned the pre-order is up right now on my brand new book, The Daniel Study Guide. I give a summary of all 12 chapters of Daniel. This is going to be an exciting little book. I doubt she even has it on there, but maybe she'll put it up later. But let me read for you some lessons in my Revelation study guide, because, you know, learning all these truths is one thing, but let's apply them. What does all this mean to us? Some lessons here. I got 9 of them. Number one, the Lord is to be praised. And I get that from verses 1-6. We read all that.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That's right.
Verses 1-6 was all about the multitude singing praises to God. The Lord is to be praised. He wants to be praised. Number two, God's judgments, as rough as they are true and just. We see
that's right.
Verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. And so
righteous means it's right.
Yep. Number 3, the marriage of the church, the bride of Christ, is about to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And it will happen at the end of the 7-year tribulation in heaven. And that's verses 7-9. We talked about that pretty in depth during the show.
Yep.
That's coming, and we'll be at the marriage supper, and at the end of the marriage supper, the marriage will be finished. It'll be final, and we'll now be the wife and instead of the bride to be.
That's right.
And then we're going to our new home, which is going to be the millennial kingdom.
Yep.
That happens.
The church goes up in chapter 4, and the church comes back down in chapter number 19.
Yep. And we're going to have our new home, the Kingdom Age.
Yes.
And he ends the Battle of Armageddon just like that on the way by. So, number 4, we will be sinless in heaven. Verse 8 talks about, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Absolutely.
We will be sinless up there.
We will. We won't have to worry about the temptation that we have to deal with here.
Yep. Next, the second coming of Christ, I see this in verse 11, is at the Battle of Armageddon takes place. Notice that Jesus is a God of war, it says here. Yep. I think that's in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness doth he make war. There it is right there.
Yep.
Christ is going to make war.
Yep.
And ain't going to last long. When he gets in war, you better be on his side.
The Bible says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but long-suffering does have an end to it.
And verse 14 is the one we didn't read this. The armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us.
That's
the bride, who is now the wife. The saved will come with Christ on white horses, verse 14. Verse 15 is a reference to the 1,000-year reign to follow. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's the kingdom age for 1,000 years.
Right.
Verse 19 tells us the armies of the whole world will gather to fight against Christ.
That's it.
But are no match. Can you imagine going to war with God?
Well, it shows you the power of deception of the devil.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Battle of Armageddon is going to be an amazing time. That's Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Any nation that has parted God's land is going to be at the Valley of Jezreel. That's the Megiddo Valley.
Yeah.
And he's going to deal with them there. Yeah. I picture it like this, and it might be wrong, because when you study the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, you get all the major events that's going to take place during the tribulation period amongst the Gentile world and all the battles that are going to be taking place there. And it seems like that they're all going to gather together to duke it out, to see who really gets to rule this thing.
We talk about, you know, going to war with God. You know, even us Christians, we shake our fist at God all the time when we say no to something God wants us to do.
And we don't realize it, yes.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sad.
But they are going to gather together, and all of a sudden here comes what everybody's talking about today, the invaders from outer space, I guess. But, and they're all going to gather together, but it's over.
In chapter 20, verse 10, the devil is sent to join the Antichrist and the false prophet.
We'll get to that next week.
He's going to be sent to join.
I held off of that today.
Yep, the two beasts that have gone ahead of him, he's going to join them.
Yep.
And just some personal application here. How often do I give God praise? I mean, look at the first six verses here.
Mm-hmm.
God is worthy of our praise. Number two, am I bitter at God for something he allowed into my life? A lot of Christians are bitter, angry at God about something. You know, I know a guy that's got diabetes. He's lost half his leg. He's got fingers missing. Mm-hmm. He's in a wheelchair. And I've told him this to his face. I said, "You're one of the sweetest guys I've ever met. He's not mad at anybody. He's not mad at who caused this, and he's not mad at God. He's just an amazing guy." And that's a lesson for all of us.
Well, in reality, it's sin that causes all of this, not God.
Yep. Am I doing my best to present myself as a chaste bride of the Lord Jesus? And we're going to stand before him one day at that judgment seat.
Yeah.
And, well, that's all the time we have today. That gets
it
us
goes
through,
by too quick.
Gets us through chapter 19 pretty quickly here.
Well, and we left a lot out, but yes.
And we're going to get to chapter 20 probably next week. And don't forget, pray for us. Partner with us financially if you can.
Yes.
And pray about that. Don't forget the new stations that we're on. And don't forget... Don't forget, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And it's all going to be over here soon. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. I hope you're ready to meet him. Hope you're born again. Hope you're saved. But until then, keep your eyes on them skies.